Intellectual Tailing America. A little technical problem there. This is the ultimate in reality radio with information that can save your life. And as you know, on this show you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world, who have created the living hell we find ourselves in here on planet Earth, where doctors create disease and destroy life and administer biological weapons, nicknamed vaccines, which are corrupting our very genetic structure, where governments have become terrorists against the people they purport to serve and commit treason every day by allowing the destruction of our air, water, food, and planet, who suppress the natural solutions to all of these problems already available. And as we're going to talk about today, who commit crimes against humanity in the name of justice. So, if you don't know the big picture of health, I strongly suggest you go to reversingvaccineinducediseases.com, click on the Vaccine Induced Disease tab, print out the diagrams, there's four of them there, and then click on the link below where you can listen to me explain the big picture of all disease and how I reverse disease with natural therapies by taking a history. Lab tests in almost all cases are not necessary. Okay, if you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them from me. And it's amazing where I'm hearing from this past week. I heard from Kuwait and Dubai. So the word is getting out there. To learn how I do consults, click on the services tab on my reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com site. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. My toll-free number, 888-321-6751. Can be used to contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. My Skype username is drcarly1, but Skype is used primarily for international clients that don't have access to the 800 number, as well as different radio shows that I do. Always remember, I do not practice medicine, nor give medical, nor legal, nor any other kind of advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you, after much research on each subject. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives. And if you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 800-313-9443. We ask that you wait until the second hour so we can get the subject matter going with the guests today. And, of course, very important that you yourself do call in so there's no interference with whoever's speaking. Okay, there's the music. I'll be bringing my guest, Jennifer Dixon, on after the break. Stay tuned, folks. Very important show. The Failing America, where I answer today is taxpayer-funded genocide of Palestinians. And I'll be bringing my guest on in just one moment. Let me just finish to say that please support the Republic Broadcasting Network if you appreciate the shows that are broadcast here. And I also want to remind all of you to sign up for the newsletter that I contribute to every week. It's free. It's an email newsletter. You can either sign up at the bottom of reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com, the links page, or Wendy Wilson's site as well. Wendy Wilson is the one that put this newsletter, American Survival, together. And you can get it for free, and it has a lot of important information as you, you know, seek to wake up others around you. I know the listeners to this network are probably the most aware listeners of all internet radio stations. So I love talking to all of you. And today it's very important that you face another amazingly evil situation. And that is what's happening in regards to the Palestine situation. My guest today is Jennifer Dixon. She is the author of a book, The Holy Land Unveiled, which she sent to me. It's published by American Free Press. and can be ordered by calling 888-699-NEWS. I just want to read a message from the author that she wrote, which I also received a part of it, which is very, very powerful. Years of distorted coverage of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict has led most Americans to believe that it is the violence of Palestinians that prevents their dream of a state. In fact, it is a policy of the government of Israel. This policy is nothing short of genocide. While American media covers the minutiae of the so-called peace process, Israel continues to consolidate its control over the West Bank. How it does so is described in my new book, The Holy Land Unveiled. And you discuss how you saw what's going on with your own eyes, just like I saw what was going on in the hospital with my own eyes. It's amazing what happens when that happens, because the propaganda just disappears in a vapor, and you say, uh-oh, we've been lied to about everything. And then you also state that in a democracy such as ours, the responsibility for foreign policy ultimately rests with the people. And one thing that just disgusts me is how much these Zionist Christian fake pastors like Hegel and Pat Robertson are promoting destruction of Iran and things of that nature. I mean, excuse me? I thought that, you know, Jesus was about, you know, peace and love and all that. What's up with destroying the Iranians? So anyways, I talk about these issues a lot, but I'm so glad to have you on. So thank you very much for coming on the show. And I'll just have you start wherever you'd like. How did you get, started in this? You do talk about that in the book, but if you could give like a short version of like what made you say to yourself, I want to risk my life and go over there and see what's going on.
Okay. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me on the show. I appreciate that. I know you're a person who's concerned about human life, kids in particular. And this is just another facet of the very ugly world we live in. Why did I go there? Well, I was part of the peace movement, and I found out later that the peace movement, like so many political movements in this country, is phony. Now, a lot of the people in it are very sincere, but they get involved, and I did too, in a movement where you're carefully directed away from the deeper truth. And so I got involved in this back in the early 90s at the beginning of the Persian Gulf War, where I realized that the peace movement tended to minimize the Palestinian situation. It also tended to ignore the reality of Zionism and the power that the Jewish lobby has in this country, which is immense. As you noted, we are going to be in a war with Iran sooner or later. And that means that we'll be in a war with Russia too, because the same group of people have been targeting the Russians throughout this century, and they're still at it. And anyway, I became aware of the discrepancy, so I decided to go there myself. I have to say, though, even before I was involved in the peace movement, I was in Palestine on a tour as a tourist. And I did see, however, and that was in 1989-90, at the beginning of the First Intifada. And I did see what people went through. I did see how the Palestinians lived. I did see the absolute disparity between the very wealthy Israelis who live an American middle or upper middle class lifestyle. And that lifestyle doesn't even apply to Americans anymore. And the Palestinians who were just third world impoverished. And obviously, more than the underclass, they were the pariahs of that country. And that country was theirs 100 years ago. Israel occupies what is Palestine, historically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just amazing when you think about it that they continue to do this, like, right in everybody's face. Netanyahu says, no, I'm not going to stop building more settlements. I mean, give me a break. You know, the Palestinians got whatever their status is in front of the UN now. Very strange. They're not
meaningless.
Yeah, right. But supposedly that now gives them the right to bring up, you know, certain things. And in the midst of these issues being discussed, they just keep on, you know, mowing over the homes of the Palestinians. And when you think about it, if they did something like that here, which mm-hmm. they're doing here, but they're using the banks to do it. They're foreclosing on people and stealing their homes and everything they have.
It's more indirect, yeah.
Yeah. Well, but the blinded sheep, you know, just think, oh, you know, it's, you know, this party or that party, not realizing who's controlling the show. But please, I want to, you know, give you the stage here. If I could just mention one thing I loved in your book here. Well, I loved a lot of things, but one very, very telling little factoid on page 156. And this is an interview that's taking place for the Palestine Monitor. And they're interviewing a evangelical Christian that has a Palestinian school. And this is what the guy that has the school says. Since 2000, we have our own curriculum, but it is supervised. It is controlled by the Israeli government. The methods of teaching history and geography are restricted by their government and also by the Oslo Agreement. So the teaching of history is under the control of the Israelis. And how classic is that?
How you know, classic that, is that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It is here, too.
Right.
It is in America.
Right, but that they would actually have an ongoing program to make sure that no truth is sneaking out, you know. Now that the young people have access to the internet, although I'm sure a lot of sites like mine are, you know, not allowed to be accessed, but still I'm sure they're finding out some things that are, you know, important for them to know.
What, you know, it's...
Go ahead.
It's interesting. Now, of course, they live through their own dispossession, and it's violent. And they have retained their culture and their roots, so they're true to themselves. And it's in their face. It's happening every day. I mean, their kids get gunned down in their streets. Their homes are bulldozed while they're sitting in them. They are living in a country where they can't travel for more than 20 miles without being stopped, pulled out of the cars, pulled off the buses, everything turned upside down, hours waiting at checkpoints. This is their daily life. So you can't really lie to them. But the Israeli government is so crazy that they're pretending it's not happening. And they're even they can pretend to Americans because Americans don't see it. They get this cycle of violence spin where supposedly it's extremist on both sides. See, and this is very clever. It's very clever because it doesn't tell the actual story, but it serves to get the American public to say, oh, well, you know, they're just extremists. They're just terrorists. You know, there's some extremist on the Jewish side. That's not it. The Israelis have gone in there and in 100 years have taken over the whole country, except for a few isolated pockets that are reserved for the Palestinians that are, in effect, prisons.
That, exactly.
That wall that is supposed to be an apartheid wall is not a separation wall. It does not separate the Palestinians from the Israelis. It separates the Palestinians from each other.
Wow.
And it makes it impossible for them, combined with the checkpoints, combined with endless numbers of military installations along the easternmost side of the country, all over that little tiny West Bank that is an occupied territory, heavily occupied. And again, Americans don't have a sense of this because we have not as yet been occupied by military forces. But they live with this. I mean, everywhere you look, there's a military installation. There's a military jeep. There is a tank. There is a guy in a tower on that wall pointing his assault weapon at you as an unarmed civilian.
I can't imagine the trauma of that to the children. Okay, there's the music. We're going to a break. Jennifer, we'll be back after these messages. And we'll continue this discussion. Stay tuned, folks. Our answer today is taxpayer-funded genocide of Palestinians with my special guest, Jennifer Dixon, author of the book, The Holy Land Unveiled, which you can order by going to AmericanFreePress.net. And please continue with what you were talking about, Jennifer. I would just like to insert that one thing that amazes me when we're hearing about all these alleged attacks on Israeli soldiers by these vicious Palestinians, of course, what do they have as weapons? These people have nothing. I mean, they've got rocks.
They've got rocks, and they have rifles. Yeah.
Right. But if there's been a bomb, it's a Mossad operation.
More than
because
likely.
They're very happy to sacrifice people in order to, you know, create the boogeyman, make them even more, you know, scary.
Let me just address a couple of things that came up. One, in the last segment, you mentioned that the school was evangelical. It's a Lutheran evangelical school. It is not an American evangelical Christian school, which would be very Zionist, because I think the evangelicals are, by and large, very pro-Zionist. Not all, but a lot. I'd say that. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we... Part of it cut off. Did mention that in here. But I'm just bringing up the point that they're saying that they're totally controlled. In other words, the fact that they claim to be whatever in evangelical, it's all basically a front because they're totally controlled by the Israelis, so they can't be evangelical.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they do try within their own world to be, you know, to really live the gospel. I mean, it's there. There are Christians and Muslims living in peace together in Palestine, as they did for centuries before Zionism came into the picture.
Right.
But, okay, the other thing was you're talking about the spin that has always kept Americans from knowing what really goes on. I'll tell you a story, and then I'm going to talk about some facts about the last bombing in Gaza. First of all, when I was there in 2005, I was with a Palestinian journalist, and we decided to go to West Jerusalem. In other words, we were going to go from the Arab section to the Jewish section. And you go from the Arab section, everything is old and depleted, and there's no money for anything because they won't give them their share of the taxes, and the infrastructure is falling apart, and so on and so forth.
Okay,
and then you go to the west.
Jennifer, please give the year again because you were breaking up. What
year was
this?
It was 2005.
Okay.
Okay, so, but the point being, then you go to West Jerusalem, and it's very new and modern and, you know, could be a beach or whatever in America, very trendy and cool and all that. Well, the Palestinian journalist was a man in his 40s. He was stopped at every restaurant door that we approached and frisked. Now, this is over a good hour's drive and more from Tel Aviv. How is it that a Palestinian man could travel across the country, not only just as a Palestinian, but with a belt of explosives on? They're very obvious, they're very bulky, and not be detected.
Mm-hmm.
Stop and think about it. Those things are enabled. There are some Palestinians, because of the suffering, they go crazy. I describe that in the book, some of the things they go through. It's horrifying. They want to do this, but they're enabled. They're enabled by Israelis because they want the PR. They want the spin. They want the crazy Islamic terrorist.
Right.
And that's what they do, and that's how they play this game.
You drive somebody to the brink until they snap, and then they say, oh, here's a weapon you can use against the one who drove you to the brink, when actually it's the one giving the weapon that's behind the whole thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The arming of the world, really. But I want to talk a little bit about this bombing in Gaza this last November, because there have been many now. I mean, there have been so many assault wars triggered, in most of them, in the Middle East by the Israelis, actually. And, of course, we're not told that. But just let's take, for instance, last November. In that bombing, it lasted about a week, 6 days. 170 Palestinians were killed. Now, what supposedly triggered this was the death of 3 Israelis at the hands of Hamas and their 500 rockets. Let's just look at the story. 500 rockets and they killed 3 people? No, this is stupid. This isn't at all likely. Okay, so we have a death rate of 3 Israelis versus 170 Palestinians. But in addition, nearly 1,000 Palestinians were wounded in this. Because the Israelis have destroyed the hospitals of Gaza, severely undermined their infrastructure to the point of, well, of course, they cut off medicine and food for years. So these people are already in terrible health. They already do not have access to emergency medicine and medication because the shelves are empty.
Okay. Hold on, Jennifer. Okay. I want to make sure everybody hears every word of this, because, of course, basically what this means is that a relatively insignificant wound can end up fatal, because if you can't even get your wound cleaned or whatever, you're in big trouble. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Back from Blood Killing America, where our answer today is taxpayer-funded genocide of Palestinians, with my special guest, Jennifer Dixon. Her website, holylandunveiled.com. Please continue, Jennifer, with what you were talking about. And let me just say, I also had seen some special on C-SPAN where the author Alice Walker was discussing the situation with the Palestinians, and she had commented that even the roads are segregated, which is so ridiculous when you think about it, that not only, like you said, are their hospitals being destroyed, I mean, where are they going to take their sick and wounded? People can't even imagine a situation like this, but as you said, you saw it with your own eyes. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can't. Until you go there, until you see things like this, you can't imagine them. But I was talking about the medical situation in during the first intifada, which was the first bombing of Gaza. I'm getting my situations mixed up. 2005, there was a war on Gaza, and that was really a heavy bombing. It came out in statistics that the Israelis had stopped doctors at work tending the wounded from their bombing, from the Israeli bombing of the Gazans specifically, from tending to the wounded. They had shot doctors.
Yes.
They blew up ambulances.
Mm-hmm.
991 incidences. That's incredible. I mean, this is... Well, I mean, it's just self-evident. It's horrific.
It's pure evil, and of course...
It's pure evil. Yeah, it is pure evil.
Obviously, these were civilians in almost all cases. You know, it's just mind-boggling to me that Americans aren't standing up. They have to have heard little pieces, you know, here and there. Of course,
yeah.
American hero Bradley Manning brought a lot of information out to the public. We see the bloodlust of our soldiers that are being trained by the Israelis. This is their game.
This is their game. But just to get back into this situation, where do you start to describe what is an ongoing genocide? And it's the destruction. You start with the destruction of culture. Then you go to destruction economically. Then political total disenfranchisement. Then you just start targeting the people, picking them off. I mean, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. In one of the statistics I referred to in the book was a fact that in early 2000, the second intifada, the first one was in 1889-90, the second one in 2000, and that was the time of the Israeli, what they called incursion, a full military assault by a world-class military. People have to understand that the Israelis are on par with the U.S. and Russia. Russia is actually very depleted at this point. But as a military power, now this is a nation of 6-7 million people.
Right.
Have the same kind of power as this nation, which has too much.
Hold on.
Okay.
I would really appreciate it if you would please define intifada. I never assume anybody knows, you know, these terms.
Right. The intifada, it's an Arabic word, and it means shaking off. It means an uprising. The Palestinians trying to shake off the Israeli military assault and a stranglehold and just grip, absolute grip on their lives as they deplete them, as they erase them, where they give them. I mean, really, the people that are stuck there just are stuck there. They're not going to leave. They don't have anything. There's no way to escape it. So, in this intifada, as I said, in the beginning of this decade, 2000, the Israelis killed 80 Palestinian children before one Israeli child lost his life. Now, what does that tell you about distorted reporting? And what did we hear? It's always made to assume that the violence is equal on both sides. This is absolutely not the truth.
Right.
And one thing I've learned about what we call the American media is that we have never gotten the truth about anything.
Exactly.
Period. And I'm
As
not
a matter of fact,
exaggerating.
Let me just mention, I don't know if you're aware of the situation in Florida. I don't remember the names of the reporters. Two reporters actually sued Fox News for firing them because they refused to tell a lie in a story that they were reporting, and the court actually ruled that the news organizations can lie. How do you like that?
Yeah.
You know, you can't
Telling the truth is no defense.
I know.
Telling the truth is no defense. In court, legally. I mean, if you and I were to get hauled in, we do not have a defense. The fact that we tell the truth is not a defense.
Well, actually, the way I would twist that is I would say that the truth that I speak is the case, and unless you address the truth that I speak, which, you know, that vaccines are bioweapons, etc., then this is all bogus. So, whatever. But, you know, we do what we have to do because it has to be done. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're aware, there's another book called The Untold Story Through Photographic Images. It's Afghanistan After Democracy, by Mohammed Daoud Meraki. This is another amazing book, more photographic in nature, you know, showing some of the deformed babies that are being born with a depleted uranium and all the rest of it. So everything we're doing is pure evil, and especially in the name of the military. And you know, we'll see how long it takes, but those drums for war just keep going on about Iran, which is such a joke. I mean, Ahmadinejad is like the only one who tells the truth about these psychopaths that are controlling the world and what they're doing.
But,
and they're
trying
to make him out to be the boogeyman. Go ahead.
Exactly. He's the bad guy. He's the latest bad guy. There have been a series of bad guys throughout the 20th century that had to be eliminated because they wanted to protect their nation. This is something Americans should understand. This does not help us. We as a people are endangered by not confronting the truth about this.
I want to underline what you just said. That is the most important message I want to get out to people, because I talk to people all over the world on Skype, and most of them are wondering, what is going on, people of America? How can you still be waving your flags? Can't you see what's going on? Now that your president has said he can drone you as well, what's it going to take? It's amazing.
It's amazing. I mean, how we now, let's talk about drones. Okay, we can be droned in our own country. Weren't we told way back when by Mr. Bush at that point that they hate us for our freedoms? What freedoms? We're not in the situation of the Palestinians yet. On the West Bank, there are 1,500 rules that govern their military occupation. I mean, those people can't take a deep breath without going to court about it. I mean, everything is illegal. It's getting like that here. But what is more ridiculous is that we're not gaining anything. I mean, if we were out there, we pay $4 for a gallon of gas. The gas in the Middle East isn't coming to America. This is foolish, people. We're gaining nothing. We don't pump our own or drill our own gas, and the gas in the Middle East goes to Israel, where it is sold to China. So wake up. Your country's being destroyed, too, but in a different way. About drones, this last bombing, which was this last November of 2012 in Gaza, I was watching a very, just this kid was incredible. A young boy, an English boy named Harry Fear, and he was doing his own thing on the internet, running his little show and reporting from Gaza as it was being bombed. And you could hear the drones. I mean, this, the building just shaking from the sound.
Mm-hmm.
As they, you know, drones are a great way to kill people. I think the drones did about 25% of the damage. And they were only 5% of the 1,350 military flights that Israel sent over the Gaza in 1 week.
Yeah, apparently it's like they don't count. You know, that's what it seems like. You know, oh, it's really nothing, just a little drone, no big deal. You know, it's like putting up, you know, some motorized device like you play with your children. In fact,
exactly.
they're making motorized insects drones as well. I met some of those last summer, and I do know of somebody here that's already had a drone sent to their house. So they're already doing it. Against people who are doing certain things. But you see, I have no fear of these people. They've taken everything I have. And so it's really amazing once that occurs. It's like, bring it on, you know.
Yeah, nothing left to lose.
Yeah, until I breathe my last breath, I will continue to tell the truth. And I know people are waking up, so that's the good news.
Yes, and it is. Hopefully. I think slowly, people are beginning to open their eyes to this. I want to talk now, particularly as you are a doctor, or a trained doctor. I know you no longer practice, you know, official medicine. But this assault on children is very, I mean, it's more than military. There's first of all, there's the huge psychological impact of attacking children. And there's just the evil. I mean, you have to be truly evil to send the kind of weaponry after infants. And one of the pictures that's on my website, and it's in the book, if anybody cares to look, is a child that's been fried. It's gross, but that is really it. It's blackened, charred body. The Israelis are famous, or known in certain circles, for using phosphorus bombs, against, well, sending them out. What phosphorus does is it just burns inside the body, and it cannot be put out.
Wasn't that what they used in Vietnam as well? A version of that?
That was napalm.
Right.
The technology has been ratcheted up.
Oh, great.
I mean, way ratcheted up. Between Vietnam and the Gulf War, and it was like 100%, double 100% improvement or whatever. And then from then to now is another 100% of sophistication in weaponry. It's much more horrific. The latest thing that they use is something called the dime bomb. It's an acronym, and it stands for dense inert metals explosive. And this thing works on the genetic level, and it also does with the phosphorus bomb. It burns the body out from inside. I mean, I saw pictures of bodies where it just erupts from inside, or bodies where the head had just disappeared.
So they're breathing it in or ingesting it?
Well, it makes contact. Yeah, they erupt and then it lands on the skin, or it touch the bomb goes. You know, maybe they may have direct contact, or maybe shrapnel from the bomb, or debris from the bomb. It lands on the skin, and once you, it's on you. You die as a hideous slow death. Well, imagine burning from the inside out. It's horrifying. So, who even thinks this stuff up?
Well, these are monsters. I mean, this is a
psychopathic
bloodline with no conscience. And as I started opening up these cans of worms 15 years ago, you know, finding out about MKUltra, mind control, all kinds of things that, you know, I have congressional documents about. And it's just chilling that people are, they're living in like this... you know, Leave It to Beaver, you know, Matrix, that's all being created with some horrors allowed in the side because, you know, they love to get that trauma response out of people. But this is something we can do something about. It can be stopped once we see who's behind it.
Right. The media is interesting. It is fascinating because Americans, as you say, they live in this kind of Leave It to Beaver, happy-go-lucky world that's also increasingly goofy. And then on the other side, they're constantly promoting addiction to violence.
Right.
Violent movies, the video games. And that shuts people down in a certain way. It shapes their psyches, which is part of all this and this completely immoral society that we live in. But
which is being created intentionally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's the point. Right.
It is
okay,
absolutely.
If you can hold on 1 second, Jennifer, we have a call. Tony from Tennessee, he's been waiting some time. Are you there, Tony? Do you have a question or comment, please?
Yes, Dr. Carley. I have a comment, really. I enjoy your conversation very much. I love to hear the truth, and especially the truth about these rotten, filthy Jews. You know, the biggest problem that the Palestinians have are the American people, because the American people have fallen for the lie that these Jews are God's chosen people, mm-hmm. which they're Satanists. And, you know, I'm glad to see I come to the truth a couple years ago about who was behind everything that's going on. And I just can't believe that these American people would sit by and think that we've been more blessed since 1948 because we support these people. When if you look at what's happened to this country since 1948, we've gone straight to hell because we support these people. That land was never called Israel, ever. It was called Judea, and it's the land of Palestine. Mm-hmm. And these American people refuse to accept the fact that these are not God's chosen people. I try to tell them, and they just love to believe the lie. And they will put up with this stuff because they think they're God's chosen people.
Right.
Well, let me just say, Tony, okay. That's why it's so important to get books like this book that Jennifer has written, The Holy Land Unveiled, because if this is what God's chosen people are up to, like she was discussing developing this phosphorus that burned you from the inside out.
Oh, that's
then
terrible.
Who is their God?
That's terrible. I never heard that before.
Asking that question, that is not something that a good God would promote, obviously.
Have either one of you heard of the book, An American Jew Living in Racist Marxist Israel by Jack Bernstein?
Oh, yeah. I'm aware of the book.
Yeah.
You know, okay,
wait. Hold on till after the break, and I'll have you respond, Jennifer, and you can hold on to Tony in case you want to add something else. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages.
Yeah.
And we're back with Healing America, where our answer this week is taxpayer-funded genocide of Palestinians, with my special guest, Jennifer Dixon, author of the book, The Holy Land Unveiled. And, Jennifer, I wanted to give you a chance to respond to what Tony said, and then he can come back on. We're getting other callers as well, so take it
okay.
away.
Yeah, this is an interesting detail for you, Tony. There are more Jews in New York than there are in Israel.
Yeah.
They don't live there.
No, I understand.
I mean,
that.
You know, they don't, the whole pitch, the whole story that we were sold way back when was, of course, they suffered the Holocaust and they had to have a place to live. That story was totally, totally false. Another interesting fact, think about the story. This is how much fantasist Americans really are, the degree to which they just don't have any grip of any reality. Say, okay, all these Jews were slaughtered off in the torture camps of the evil Nazis, starved to death, electrocuted, eaten by German shepherds. All this story. Let me just stick with me. Okay, so at the end of the war, these people who could barely have crawled out of the concentration camp suddenly hopped across a nation, hopped on some boats, went over to Palestine, and won a war against 7 Arab armies. How likely is this? I mean, it's another ridiculous story. I mean, and I don't know, is it that Americans have watched so many movies, or so inundated with, they're fantasists to believe this nonsense. The truth of the matter is that there were, in the beginning of the 20th century, only 8% of that area, the Palestinian Mandate, was Jewish. And they started bringing them in mass. And even the British warned them that it was getting overcrowded back in the 30s. That didn't stop them. They kept piling in. So there were 30% by 1945, 48, when they started the war against the Palestinians. But the UN gave them over 54% of the land and the best land and left the poor Palestinians to deal with this. So in 1948, they were streaming out of Palestine, 400,000, terrorized by these Zionist thugs who were, you know, starting all these massacres. Deir Yassin's one of the more famous ones. There are many, many, many more than that. So anyway, go ahead. I just thought I'd throw that in.
You know why World War One was fought? Because Germany, the German bankers in Germany, the Jewish bankers in Germany, sold Germany out to England, got America into the war because they wanted Palestine.
Exactly. They wanted more than Palestine. Palestine's only the beginning of the story. I've learned a lot, too, since then.
And Hitler found out that the Jews were doing to his country what they're doing to this country, and wanted them out. Then people didn't die because he killed them. They were dying of typhus.
Right, and that was only at the end of the war.
Yeah, so everything's been a lie.
Everything has been a lie. It's very hard. I guess most people just can't stand to think. It's too frightening.
Right. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much for calling, Tony. We have other callers waiting as well. We'll be right back after these messages, folks. Stay tuned.